Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcast.
Listen, we are, I think it's day 7 of the government shutdown. I guess, Ozzy, that means, you know, government shutdown, no work to do. You can golf every day.
Well, you know, you started your monologue with golf, and then you said teenage boy, and you said the temperature is between 65 to 70. So all I can think of is 6-7.
Don't say that. My son gets docked like $5 every time he makes a 6-7 reference.
Oh, my Lord. I'm still trying to wrap my head around that, and I'm still trying to wrap my head around the government shutdown. I don't know which is worse.
I think, honestly, for me personally, it might be 6-7, but that's being a little bit selfish because I'm not a government employee. I want to start. First of all, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. Good to connect.
Yeah, Ozzy Palomo from Chartwell Strategy, Republican lobbyist, a longtime friend of the show. I guess I'll start with the general question, then I'll drill down to some specifics. From where you sit, and I know you're always quite diplomatic with your answers, but how do you think this ends?
Yeah, look, I you're right. It is day 7 of the shutdown, and I think as of last night, there's still kind of no resolution really in sight. I don't think it ends well. If you take a look at it historically, you know, whomever really kind of forces these shutdowns always ends up caving and not getting a whole lot in return. And I think at the end of the day, I think that's where Democrats are going to be. They have not been super clear in exactly what they want. Obviously, they want the COVID era subsidies to kind of remain, but they don't want necessarily any, you know, guardrails associated with that. They want to roll back some of the Medicaid cuts that were part of the President and Republicans' tax bill, which isn't going to happen. So at the end of the day, I think the demands really kind of are all over the place and aren't realistic with what the political reality facing Chuck Schumer and Hakeem Jeffries are.
Right.
At the same time, Republicans find themselves in a little bit of a pickle because if these subsidies do go away, you know, healthcare costs are going to go up. But I think the messaging of that has kind of been botched to some extent because these aren't Obamacare subsidies. These are premium subsidies that were tacked on during COVID when people needed them. And the fact of the matter is, you know, the COVID pandemic's over, right? Some of these benefits were never intended to be long term. And so, but at the same time, the party can't be seen on the Republican side as the party that always takes something away. So
right.
they're a little bit of a quagmire. At the same time, you know, I will give the speaker, the majority leader in the Senate and the president credit where they've all said they're willing to negotiate on these subsidies as soon as the CR is voted on. And what I can't wrap my head around is this is a Biden era budget that the Democrats have supported over and over and over again, most recently in March. So it's, again, I'm not quite sure what their end game is, but it's going to have to happen soon because the longer this lasts, the longer that those real world implications and the economic implications begin to take toll.
Right. Well, you brought up a slew of things I want to follow up on, but I'll start with Ozzy Palomo, Chartwell Strategy, joining us here. Of all of the things that the Democrats want, and I agree with you, like the Medicaid stuff, probably I don't think it'll push through. Although, listen, it affects a lot of Republican districts too. Of all the things the Democrats want, what do you think has the most merit, or what do you think has a chance of actually getting folded in?
Yeah, I think the premium healthcare tax credits most likely there'll come to some agreement to deal with that. through normal legislative processes going forward. I think there's bipartisan support there to understand that even though these were COVID era benefits that were intended to expire at some point, you know, every time you give somebody something, they get accustomed to it. So I think that's probably got the best, you know, chance to kind of stand on its own once they kind of figure out the CR. You know, there's been some cracks. Obviously, you've had two Democrats, one independent, Angus King, vote for the Republican budget. And you've had folks like Jeanne Shaheen from New Hampshire start to kind of have bipartisan dialogues to get something going. But I think once they commit to having, you know, something on the legislative calendar, some sort of an official process to deal with the subsidies, I think Democrats then go ahead and vote for a CR going forward.
I think the nuclear option is this firing, these mass firings. Do you think President Trump will go to that length?
Yeah, look, I think the president's been very clear that that's coming. And I think if you take a look at someone like Russ Vought, who's the head of the Office of Management and Budget at OMB, he's been waiting 30 years to redo the federal government. And so I think I'm not sure Democrats fully understand that this is the opening that somebody like Russ Vought wants to have. But those are going to have real implications, not just here in D.C. where I am, you know, this week, but across the country. And I think, again, the first programs that tend to get hit are programs that are designed for the very needy, which is unfortunate. And those are going to hit, you know, to your point, they certainly impact blue states, but they're going to hit some, you know, moderate districts that Republicans need next year. So it's a little tricky. But I just think at the end of the day, the president's been very clear that those firings are coming.
You know, Ted Cruz was very clear with some of this, some of the cancel culture-ish stuff that happened in the wake of the assassination of Charlie Kirk. And he's like, you know, this stuff can be full circle. You got to be careful. And when it comes to executive power, I think of that too. And this is a tricky question for you, and you can demur if you want. Is there any concern among Republican circles about this real concentration of executive power?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, look, I think that concentration has been in the making for the last better part of a decade. I think Congress, you know, it started with their inability to pass, you know, funding bills and appropriations, right? Which is the one power, you know, amongst many, but the central power that the Constitution gives Congress is the right to control the purse strings. And they have kind of, it started with an inability to pass funding bills. It started when Republicans took kind of this moral crusade against earmarking because it was bad. It started when Congress ceded its authority on tariffs and trade to some extent over the last better part of 20 years. So there's been this slow trickle of the legislative branch kind of giving way to the executive branch. And, you know, this didn't start with Trump. I think he's just taking advantage of what a lot of his predecessors have put in place. And I think, you know, there's an argument to be made that, you know, there needs to be kind of a recalibration to have the three equal branches of government going forward to some degree. But again, if Congress can't act, the executive branch has no option but to take, you know, matters into their own hand.
Yeah, I mean, I don't wholly agree. I think that it's been taken to a pretty extreme level, and that's not some of the things that may be done have been maybe positive for the broader economy. So I'm not saying that But I'm saying it. I think it is ratcheted up quite a bit. But I'm curious, last question with Ozzie Palomo from Chartwell Strategy. You know, obviously, I think that the messaging, the Democrats are not winning on messaging right now, especially as it relates to the shutdown. I don't see it getting a ton of traction with especially independent and moderate voters right now. And I don't know if that'll change. But to stuff like the shutdown, and I don't know what impact it might have on the midterms, but I'm curious, like, if I was to say right now, how do you view it with the gerrymandering stuff along with the shutdown stuff and other things? Where are you leaning right now in terms of the opportunity for Republicans to hold both chambers?
Yeah, I mean, I think they're in a much better position in the Senate to hold that. I think that the Senate map just doesn't favor Democrats a whole lot. And if you take a look at it, barring any kind of surprise in some crazy primary in Texas or somewhere else, you know, there's Republicans are in pretty good shape there. I think on the House, I think the fundamentals are in good place for Republicans to kind of upend history and actually hold, if not even gain some seats. The redistricting thing is less of a worry for me, because for every kind of blue state that does it, there's a red state that can eke out one or two seats in, you know, kind of in return. But, you know, historically the odds are against the House, but, you know, these guys have defied the odds over the years. I think it's, you know, not to give you this politically correct answer, it's too early to tell, but I think today, if you take a look at the money, Republicans have had that advantage, that voter enthusiasm. Republicans have had that advantage. I think people kind of are still giving them, you know, a lot of credit and a lot of kind of they're letting them pass on what's happening here with the shutdown and other issues, where I think if the election were held today, they'd probably hold both chambers. But we're talking about, you know, at least, you know, six or seven political lifelines between now and next November.
Oh, come on, Ozzy. You can't do that. You can't do that. Anyone who's got kids, look up 6-7 if you don't have kids, and you'll understand.
And I apologize dearly for putting that in any of your listeners' ears.
Oh, gosh. Oh, my son Max drives me up a wall. All right, buddy. We'll talk to you soon. I appreciate the insight.
Take care. Have a good one.
Ozzy Palomo from Chartwell Strategy joining us here.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.